Today's first reading is Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in vain. Guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And the second reading is 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10. The living stone and a chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's going to be no surprise to you that I'm going to be talking a little bit about buildings, but hopefully not perhaps in the way that you might expect. Let me just reiterate what I said when I was talking earlier, that we do need to get behind the project. We do need to get on board with it financially to support it and see it through. If you've got any questions about that, there'll be a couple of people from the building project team at the back, Steve Atkins and Laura, will be there, and they can answer particular questions about giving. They can even point you to where on the iPad or your phone you need to just click the link to start sending money to the project. But no, I would like you to consider that and prayerfully bring it before the Lord, how you and I might support the project. It's a daft thing to be asking, isn't it, in the middle of a cost of living crisis. But one of my Bible readings this week was about Elijah turning up in the middle of a famine and in the middle of a drought and asking a widow if she could give him some water and some food. And she had nothing. She had nothing. What a daft thing for Elijah to do, to ask for food and water in the middle of a famine and in a drought. But miraculously, God provided. It turned out not to be a daft thing for him to do, because he followed what God had told him to do, and God provided. And I believe that that's the same for us. Anyway, obviously we want you to be involved in the project. There are different ways that you might be involved in the project. You could be involved in the project simply as an observer. You could come week by week and watch and see how the building progresses. That's fine. That might be something that is right for you. But I would pray that if that is you, if you're an observer, that you will also be a prayer. And there'll be photographs available and things as they develop, as the thing develops, hopefully as you see it progressing. But I would hope that you would want to be more than just an observer. I would hope that you would want to be a participant. I want you to think about being a participant in God's building project. Because actually becoming a Christian means joining God's building project. And immediately you can see I'm moving away from just what's happening outside these doors. We are all, as Christians, involved in God's building project. We call it the church worldwide, the church here. I don't mind how you'd like to think of it, but we call it the church, and God is building his church. God has been building his church since the beginning when he met with Abraham, if you like, to go back into the Old Testament times. God was laying the foundations and building his church, and he hasn't finished yet. It's an ongoing project. It stretches back into history, and it stretches outwards to include all Christians. And we here at Christ the King in Kettering are part of what God has been doing. And some of us have been here for a very long time and have seen what God has done. And it's been exciting to be involved in it. And some people have come more recently. But hopefully you realize that you are part of something that is living, that is growing, and that God is doing. And it's exciting. And he will go on doing, building his church. So this passage that I've asked to look at in 1 Peter chapter 2 has some things to tell us about God's building project. So let's put on our hard hats and go out on to have a site visit, shall we? And see where God is taking us. So here we go. First of all, let's look at the framework of God's building. God's building is where we start, the framework of it. And I'm not going to go into great detail in all of the bits of this passage, but I'm going to pick some things through the passage as we go through. So the first thing to point out is that God's building, verse 5, is made of stones, but not just any old stones, they are living stones. And what the Message Bible puts it as, these stones are vibrant with life. So you can see immediately that Peter is using a metaphor here. He's segueing, if you like, from his own understanding, his own image of the temple in Jerusalem, and he's talking now about something that is much bigger and much more widespread and much more vibrant than just a building made of stones, a building made of living stones. Now, the Greek word for stones that he uses here is the word lithos. Now, I'm told that that actually means a special kind of stone when it's often used. It's dressed stone. It's stone that's been chiseled. It's stone that's been made smooth. Not just a great big lump of rock, but it's actually a stone that has been shaped. And that tells me that actually each of us are important as living stones in God's building, because those stones are shaped to fit together. Just like those Lego bricks, they may all look the same, but they clip together, they fit together, and they are essential for the building to stand. The stones interlock. And that tells me that each one of us is a living stone, but each one of us is important. Each one of us has a role, and each one of us will be missed if we are not part of God's church, if we are not playing our part in God's church. So the framework of God's building project includes you and me as his living stones. Now there's something for us to think about. We are important. We are vital. In fact, it says in the passage here that we are chosen. It says that we are precious. Precious and chosen stones. Living stones in God's building project. But also, the building is framed around a cornerstone. Now, if you've followed our Thought for the Days during the week, you may well have come across Steve Atkins. It was Wednesday, wasn't it, Steve, that you were talking about the cornerstone. The cornerstone is a key part of the building. The cornerstone is the first stone laid. And if the cornerstone isn't straight, then the rest of the building goes ski-whiff as well. So the cornerstone is key. It's important. And it's a reference for the building. And in Peter's thinking here, in Peter's writing here and elsewhere, we are led to understand that Peter sees that there is only one cornerstone, and that cornerstone is Jesus. Christ alone, cornerstone. The cornerstone of God's building is Jesus. And that is so important for us. As living stones, we take our reference from Jesus. We take everything from Jesus. Jesus is the one who sets the pattern, who sets the direction. If you like, the cornerstone sets the correct angles for the other walls to be built around. And that is so important that we hold Jesus at the center of all that we do. Jesus at the center of our physical building project. Jesus at the center of our project here, of God's building project here in this place, as he builds us together into his family. And remember in verse 4, I've already used the word, Jesus was chosen by God. It was God's chosen way of doing it. That was God's part of God's plan. God's building project began way, way back. And it always had Jesus at the center as the cornerstone. And then in verse 9, we're reminded too that we are chosen. Now that's important as well for you and I to know that we are important and we are special. We have a role to play, every single one of us, in the building that God is creating. And remember, he's not creating a building made of stone. He's creating a building made of living stones of you and me, and he's building us together. And that's the framework of God's building project. Living stones built around the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. So, what about the features of this building that God is creating, God's building project? Well, the first thing to say is that in verse 5, we discover it's a house. God is building a house. And Peter goes a little bit further and says it's a spiritual house. So keep the metaphor, the idea of a metaphor going. And the house, an important thing, the house needs the interlocking stones. And that speaks again of our corporate life as Christians here. We matter to each other. We should matter to each other. We are important to each other. And our life together here is part of God's spiritual house that he has been building and is continuing to build and will continue to build. Whatever happens to the building outside, God will continue to build his house in this place. And you and I, and hopefully the other people that will come in the years, months, and weeks to come, will be a part of that. God is building a house, a spiritual house. Well, what is a house? Well, a house is a place of refuge. It's a place of shelter. A house is a place of safety. A house is a place where the family can live together. A house is a place where the family live together with shared responsibility, where they support each other through good and bad times. A house is a place where hopefully the family can find welcome and acceptance. A house is a place where, for the family, those who belong in it, the doors are not shut. You're never abandoned to the granny annex. The house is a place where you are important and you have roots and I have roots and we are part of God's family. And God is building a house. And in Peter's thinking, I think the house goes a little bit further because at the time of Peter was writing this, the temple was still standing. And the temple was an important feature in the Jewish religious practice and Jewish life. And it was an important feature to Peter's life as well. Remember that after Jesus had left and that Peter and John were, as it were, on their own, but with the power of the Holy Spirit and just finding out what that meant, where do we find them going? They're going to the temple. And I suspect that in the temple, Peter sees a temple as God's house, the house of God. Now, that's an important idea. The house of God. God is building a house, but it's a special house. It's a house where the presence of God can be encountered. And I think that God's building project for us here is for that to be that kind of house. A place where God can be found. A place where our community sees God at work. A place where our community experiences God at work. And where the power of God to change lives radiates out and is demonstrated to people around. And it's proclaimed. Because I think that's what it means to be living stones, vibrant with life in God's building project. We're people whose job it is to not to contain the presence of God, but to allow the presence of God to affect us so much that it radiates out and beyond and becomes a focal point for other people's lives as well. A bit like the temple did in those days. But remember, the temple was torn down. the temple was wrecked. And of course, we discover that it wasn't just about a building made with stones then either, because Jesus was talking in those days too, as he talked to people about something spiritual, about something important that actually affected everybody's lives. So, the features of God's building project, it's a house that he's building, but a house with a very special purpose and a very special focus, and a house that it's essential that each one of us is part of the framework of that house. Okay, well, he changes his metaphor slightly in the passage to draw out the fact that we're not only the living stones that make up the building, we're actually called to be part of the function of that building. We're called to participate in how God's house, in God's building, it conducts itself and how it shows itself. And the first thing that we're called to do, I think there's two things that we're called to do. The first one that we're asked to do is to be engaged in. And remember, verse 5, it says being built. So it's not a one-off thing. It's something that we're asked to be doing all of the time. Engaged in worship. Verse 5, Peter talks about bringing a spiritual sacrifice. Now, obviously, in the Old Testament, we tend to remember sacrifice as something to do with dealing with sin, atonement sacrifices. And sometimes we just leave it at that. But of course, now we don't have the need for that sacrifice. We don't need a sacrifice for our sin because Jesus was the sacrifice for our sin. That was dealt with. We no longer need a sacrifice of atonement because Jesus did it for us. Jesus was the sacrifice. But there are other sacrifices mentioned in the Old Testament as well, different kinds of sacrifice. And sometimes we overlook that and we forget that. There are sacrifices that were thank offerings. Just, you're so grateful to God, you want to thank him. And we have evidence in the Old Testament of people bringing thank offerings at the appropriate time. Sacrifices that brought people into closer communion with God, just brought him closer to them. Just think about that when Peter calls us to be spiritual sacrifices. One of the functions of our partnership, our membership of being part of God's building project is to bring worship, to bring that spiritual sacrifice. And remember that sacrifice is not only material. Hebrews 8:15-16 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and don't forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So one of the things that we as the living stones in God's building project are asked to do is to worship with all that that means. And then the second thing that we're asked to do is to bear witness. Verse 9, God's house is a place of witness. We're called in verse 9 to declare. What are we called to declare? We're called to declare the goodness of God. And what does that mean? Well, we've already sung about it. Because as Peter says here, the good thing that you are to go out and declare is that God brought you from darkness into light. In the darkness we were waiting, but now we live in his glorious light. We have such good news. And we are called to bear witness to it. And that is also what God is building us into a family to do. That's what God is asking of us in his building project. To worship him, but to bear witness to him. And the gospel message is the message of good news, the message of light. So there's three things just to be thinking about as we perhaps come up on and off through the week or on Sundays and see the building project going on. Let's remember that God's building project is something much bigger, something much more spiritual, something that reaches further. And although our building project hopefully will do many of those things, we are part of God's ongoing building project. So let's keep our eyes and hearts and minds on what God is doing with us here. And while, yes, please, I encourage you to throw yourself behind what's going on outside there, particularly financially, because I do believe that God has called us to do it and to fund it. But let's remember, in the words of our first reading, the first verse of that psalm, that it is actually, as I said before, completely and totally pointless what's going on out there if God is not in it. Now, I believe that God is in it, so it is not pointless. But I believe that God is in so much more than just the foundations and the walls and all of the rest of it that. I think that God is much more for us as his people, as his spiritual building here. And I think that's the exciting thing to be part of. The new building will be a tool to help us as we carry on with doing what God has asked us to do. We carry on with our worship. We carry on declaring his name as we reach out to our community. And that's important, because you see, when the Lord builds, it's not about bricks and concrete and steel beams. It's actually about him turning what verse 10 says, and this is very, very special in verse 10 of this passage, turning us who were not a people into the people of God, part of his church, where we, you and me, the living stones, we are part of God's workmanship. Ephesians 2, as I finish, verse 10 in the Message Bible version. We neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each one of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work he has prepared for us to do. Work we had better be doing. I'll leave that thought with you. God's work. The challenge is there for us to be built as living stones. Exciting to be part of God's building project. And keep that in mind. If nothing else, let the building out there remind you of just what God is really doing here with his people. The people of God. God's building project. Amen.